Jagannatha Swami Kajai Yamunamai Kajai Shrimati Lassi Devi Kajai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Bol. Okay, so we are reading from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th chapter, text 33. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kalevaram Parashubhish Achitva Tat Te Rajaukasaha Dure Vavayavasho Anyadahan Kashta Vishtitam Kalevaram Parashupish Jitva Tat Te Rajaukasaha Dure Shiva Vayava Sho Nyadahan Kashta Vishtitam Kalevaram Parashupish Jitvatapte Rajakasaha Dore Shiva Vayavasho Vayavasho Yadahan Kashta Vishtitam Kalevaram Parashupish Jitva tatte rajaukasaha Dure shitva vayavasho Yadahan kashta vishtitam
Thank you.
Kalevaram. The gigantic body of Putana. Parashubhihi. With the aid of axes. Chitva. After cutting to pieces. Tat. That body. Te. All of those. Raja Okasaha. Inhabitants of Braj. Dure. Far, far away. Shifa. After throwing. Avayavashaha. Different parts of the body. Piece by piece. Anyadahan, burned to ashes. Kastavishtitam, covered by wood. So, translation. The inhabitants of Braj cut the gigantic body of Putana into pieces with the help of axes. Then they threw the pieces far away, cover them with wood, and burn them to ashes. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is the practice that after a snake has been killed, its body is cut into various pieces for fear that it may come to life again simply by interacting with air. Merely killing a serpent is not sufficient. After it is killed, it must be cut to pieces and burned, and then the danger will be over. Putana resembled a great serpent, and therefore the coward men took the same precautions by burning her body to ashes. All right, so Kalevaram Parashubhish Chitva Tate Rajau Kasaha. Dure shifva vayavasho anyadahan kasta veshtitam. So, Om Ganatya Vidandasya Gananjana Shlakya Chakshur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, what is mentioned here is not something that's impossible, that serpents can come back to life. There's actually animals, lower creatures actually, when you cut off part of their body, and some of them you cut them in half and they have two pieces and they become two different individuals. You ever heard of that before? No, that actually happens. There's a certain type of worm that you actually just cut it in half and then gradually the halves, you know, grow into a full body, and so you have two full bodies. Or different creatures different creatures can actually regenerate limbs. Like there's one creature called a salamander. You've never heard of him before. It's like a type of lizard. If you cut off a leg, then it can regenerate, or the tail, they can regenerate. And so these things are not unheard of, even scientifically, that a living entity can regenerate like that. So of course, Putana was not going to regenerate. But in any case, it was actually intelligent precautions for them to take. And let's refer back to the battle between Ravan and Ram. And it's a very similar situation there. And I'll explain what I mean by a very similar situation. That, of course, Ravan and Ram, they were fighting, their soldiers were fighting, so many people were killed. People, monkeys, rakshasas were killed. And the interesting thing is that when Hanuman came with the Sanjeevani, I think everybody knows that story. You're all Ram Bhaktas. That when Lakshman was hit and Hanuman, he had to go to pick up the hill, bring the hill back, and it was the Sanjeevani. When he came back with the Sanjeevani, not only was Lakshman cured, but also everybody who was on the battlefield was also cured. just by the smell of the Sanjeevani. Did you know that? That's why all the monkeys came back to life, just by the smell of the Sanjeevani. All the monkeys, because many monkeys have been killed by different means. Many, many, millions. There were billions, basically billions of monkeys. They came from the four corners of the earth to fight on behalf of Ram. And they were brought back to life. So the question is raised, why weren't the Rakshasas, why didn't they come back to life? It's an interesting question. The Valmiki Ramayana talks about this. The reason the Rakshasas didn't come back to life is because each and every time a Rakshasa was killed, Ravana ordered their bodies to be thrown into the ocean. Interesting. Why would Ravana order their bodies to be thrown in the ocean? Anyone have any ideas? Anyone know the Ramayana as well as I do? Ravana ordered... Excuse me. I'm a pretty good Rambhakta. So, Ravana ordered their bodies to be thrown into the ocean so the other Rakshasas wouldn't get depressed. Because had there been so many bodies coming back of all their relatives and friends and everything like that, it's very depressing to see dead bodies. I mean, like thousands, millions, or hundreds of thousands of dead bodies. Ravana just ordered they be thrown into the ocean. And so they couldn't be brought back to life. Interesting. And also, when Ram killed Kumbhakarna, he also arranged that it was, I know in the movie it shows the head going to Ravana, but it's not like that. He arranged for the head to actually be thrown in the ocean. And Kumbhakarna's body also hit the ocean. First, Ram cut off the arms, and then after that, actually Kumbhakarna was so ferocious and enthusiastic to fight that even after he had both of his arms cut off, he was still rushing at Ram. Did you know this? He didn't stop. I mean, that's determination. We can also learn that determination in our own Krishna consciousness. You know, for us, something little happens, even our arms don't get cut off. Just like I was talking to someone yesterday, they said there was a devotee and he was insulted. And then he gave up Krishna consciousness because he was insulted. Can you imagine that? That's foolish. I mean, I've been insulted so many times and I haven't given up Krishna consciousness. So Kumbhakarna had his arms chopped off. This is Ekeha Kurunandana, I mean determination. He had his arms cut off and he still was rushing at Ram, and finally Ram had to just cut his head off. And obviously when you don't have your head, you can't rush it anyway. It's not, actually he cut his legs off too, he's still rushing. His legs and his arms, and the head was the last thing to go. So anyway, so there is a process for bringing dead bodies back to life. As long as the body is still basically intact. We were telling the story the other day about the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where all the demons were basically killed. Many of them were fully killed, like Viprachitti, who became Jarasandha, and Kalanemi, who became Kongsa. But Bali was like half killed. He was killed, actually. That's true. Bali was actually killed. And Shukracharya, his spiritual master, brought him back to life because he also had this art of Sanjeevani. This art of Sanjeevani can be learned too, for those who are interested in learning. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. But anyway, so there's an interesting story in the Bhagavatam about how you can learn, and also in the Mahabharata and in the Ramayana. This is also a Ramayana story. Ramayana has many stories that are also in the Mahabharata, such as the sages, different stories about the sages. Anyway, there's an interesting story about Kacha, the son of Brihaspati. Okay. And Kacha, the son of Brihaspati, was sent on a mission by his father and by the demigods, because Brihaspati is the priest of the demigods. He was sent on a mission to learn this Mrityu Sanjeevani from Shukra, Shukracharya. Shukracharya, of course, is the guru of the demons. Even the demons have gurus. If someone doesn't have a guru, he's not a demon or a devotee. Even Ravana had a guru. You know, so this is culture. Then they're just malechas. They're not rakshasas, they're just malechas if they don't have guru. So Kacha was sent by his father. You have to learn this Mrityu Sanjeevani. So Kacha basically became the disciple of his father's rival. Because his father, Brihaspati, and Shukracharya, they were enemies, you know, rivals, so to speak. And he approached Shukracharya with a blade of grass in his mouth, and he said, can you become my guru, Dave? And Shukracharya said, yes, you know, sure. And he knew the purpose. But because there was some culture, even the demons, they were willing to train up their demons, their enemy's son. Actually, the reason Shukracharya became the priest of the demigod, of the demons, is because they didn't choose him. He was actually one of the candidates. It's like politics. He was one of the candidates to become the priest of the demigods, and Brihaspati got more votes. It's like in politics, even here, right? Like if you're running for prime minister or something like that, if someone gets less votes, you know, number two, then the number two becomes the enemy of the number one. Doesn't it happen sometimes? Like that. So, Shukracharya, and anyway, he was also the enemy of Vishnu because Vishnu put out his eye. So, Kacha said to him, you know, please teach me this Sanjeevani. So for 100 years, he was serving Shukracharya as his disciple. And Shukracharya, this story is in the Bhagavatam, also had a daughter named Devayani. Interesting. And she was falling in love with Kacha. Because, you know, Kacha was a young, handsome brahmachari, demigod, and everything like that. And so she used to cook for him and bring him, iron his clothes or whatever they do in those places. And she was in love with him. So eventually, he graduates. He gets this Mrityu Sanjeevani. Actually, there's more stories that I got to add to this. So the other demons, other than Shukracharya, became very upset that Kacha was learning this Mrityu Sanjeevani. And so in order... in order to get rid of Kacha, you know, they killed him actually twice. First time is they just threw him in the ocean or something like that. And Devayani, who was in love with him, said to her father, wherever Kacha is, you got to bring him back to life. So Shukracharya recited this mantra, Kacha came back to life. And then the demons got more upset. Why is our guru teaching our enemy's son this Mrityu Sanjeevani? So let's figure out a way to really kill him. So what they did is, this time they killed him and ground up his body into little tiny pieces and put it into wine and gave the wine to Shukracharya. So Shukracharya drank this wine, and Devayani, she was missing Kacha, and she didn't know where Kacha was. You know, she's madly in love, girl. And she said, Dad, because she's this daughter, she said, Daddy, or whatever she called him, please bring Kacha back to life. And she didn't know that Kacha was inside the stomach of Shukracharya. So Shukracharya began to recite the mantra, Mrityu Sanjeevani. And he heard a little voice coming from his stomach. He said, if you bring me back to life completely, it'll kill you. And Devayani started crying. normally, because she was just thinking, I don't want to lose my father, and I don't want to lose my boyfriend. He didn't think like that. Akacha wasn't thinking like that, but she was just like madly in love with him. So, what can we do? What can we do? And then Shukracharya finally came up, and Akacha came up with a solution that we will teach Akacha this Mritu Sanjeevani mantra so he can, after I bring him back to life and I die, he can bring me back to life. You understand? So Shukracharya recited this Mritu Sanjeevani mantra, and his belly split open and he died. And Akacha came out, and he recited the Mritu Sanjeevani mantra, and Shukracharya came back to life. It's nice, isn't it? Having a guru like that is really good. Better look for another guru. Anyway, so then, you know, for a few years after that, they lived happily ever after. But so then it got time for Akacha to graduate from the ashram of Shukracharya. Because the brahmacharya, he spent some years in the ashram, then he gets trained up, then he graduates. And so he was getting ready to leave. And Devayani revealed her mind to Akacha. And she said, I'm madly in love with you. I can't live without you. Romantic. You even have Bollywood movies in the Vedic literature, so... Madly in love with you. This actually would make a good movie. I'm madly in love. I can't live without you. You're my life and soul. And he said to her, but you're the daughter of my spiritual master. So you're my sister. Not proper. You understand? So he had like etiquette. You know, there's certain relationships that are proper and certain relationships that are not proper. You know, if someone is the daughter of your spiritual master, of course, most spiritual masters don't have daughters. But anyway, some of them do. So if someone is, then don't think you're getting married, or if someone is a son, don't think you're getting married. So she said, but forget about that. I love you. And he said, no way, my dear sister. You're my sister. And guess what happened? She got angry, because they, as they say, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Do you ever hear that? No. That's a statement we have in America. Hell hath no fury. Okay, I'll translate that for you. Hell, you know what hell is? Hell is where people are tortured. Hell does not have any fury. Fury means anger or torture or things like that. Like a woman who is scorned. Like a woman who's rejected. I mean, even if you go to hell, it's not as bad as that. So, sorry, ladies. This, and actually, there's an interesting story, very similar. When Arjuna was approached by Urvasi in the heavenly planets, the Mahabharata story now. And Urvasi said to Arjuna, I love you. And Arjuna said, you're my mother. Because she was, you know, the mother many generations before. She was the great, 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 great grandmother of the whole dynasty. And so what happened is that she cursed him to become a eunuch. You know that story? So in the same way, Akacha wasn't cursed to become a eunuch, but he was cursed so that his knowledge of the Mritu Sanjeevani mantra would never work. So all that 100 years he spent was finished. And then he cursed her. This is love. He cursed her that she would not marry a Brahmin. She would marry a Kshatriya. And that's not really so good for a Brahmin lady. Because a Brahmin lady... basically, you can only marry a Brahmin. You have these different types of marriage. They're called pratilom and anulom marriage. Anulom marriage means where a higher class man marries a lower class lady. You understand? let's say a Brahmin man, just to make it more explicit, marries a Kshatriya lady, Vaishya lady, or a Shudra lady. That's, you know, that is called an anulom marriage. A pratilom marriage is where a Brahmin lady or a higher class lady marries a lower class man. That's problematic because the lady is more intelligent than the man. The lady is able to control her senses more than the man. It's just like you have a Brahmin lady just marrying some worker on the street. She wants to chant Hare Krishna and he wants to get drunk. It can cause problems in the marriage. So anyway, two types of marriage. So she was cursed by Kacha not to marry a Brahmin. And he was cursed not to be able to do this mitra sanjivani. But he had a solution. When he went back to the demigods, he was able to teach the mantra to the demigods. He couldn't do it. She only cursed him that his use of the mantra would not work. But he could teach it to others. But she had a big problem. Her bigger problem was that she couldn't marry a Brahmin. So Bhagavatam describes this, that one day she was with her friend Sarmishta. Does anyone remember the story from Bhagavatam? People should read Bhagavatam. She was with her friend Sarmishta. Sarmishta was a Kshatriya girl. Not that she didn't marry Sarmishta, don't worry. That's not where the story is going. She was with her friend Sarmishta, and they were playing and everything like that, but somehow or other by accident, after they went to bathe, she put on Sarmishta's clothes. And it was just an accident. And Sarmishta got very angry with her and beat her up because she was a Kshatriya. You know, Kshatriya ladies are strong. They're not just like little feminine things. They're strong. That's how you know that you can meet a Kshatriya lady. She's like that. Muscles. Brahmin ladies, you know, they're very small and, you know, sweet. But Kshatriya ladies, boom. Like one time I was at a friend's house, and they're Kshatriyas from India, a particular part of India. Actually, Punjab. And the lady was... The lady and the man, they were just like slamming doors in the house and yelling at each other. And I was saying, is this normal? He said, yes, this is our loving relationship. And I said, it doesn't look like a loving relationship to me. So anyway, so what happened is that, anyway, so Sarmishta throws Devayani in a well naked. She just takes away her own clothes and just chucks her in the well. I guess the well didn't have any water, or else she would have drowned. So this poor girl is in the water without any clothes. Terrible, isn't it? Then this great king, Yayati, comes. This is the whole dynasty that Krishna appeared in, actually. This is part of the chronology or the time sequence of the Bhagavatam, you know, the whole family tree. In the ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a whole description, there's a whole picture of the family tree of Krishna, Balaram, and the Pandus. They're all connected. And so Yayati sees this girl in the well without her clothes, and he falls in love and he takes her out, and she says, marry me. Very quick engagement. She says, get married to me. And he says, but you're a Brahmin, I can't marry you. And then she explains the whole curse thing that we explained before, that she was cursed. So they get married, and because she's really angry at her Kshatriya friend Sarmishta, she goes to her father, Shukracharya. There's Shukracharya again. And Shukracharya is really angry that her daughter was treated, and that his daughter was treated in such a fashion, thrown into a well. He gets ready to curse Sarmishta's father, who's Vrishaparva was the name of Sarmishta's father. He gets ready to curse And Sir Mishnah's father, Rishabharva, says, okay, please don't curse me. My daughter can go as the maidservant of Devyani. So that's actually pretty heavy for a Kshatriya lady to be a maidservant of a Brahmin. So Devyani gets